Buck.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
the Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today. Thanks for being here for our service this morning on our second Sunday after Pentecost. Truly, the Lord gives us great gifts in our fellowship as believers. Things that in his amazing ways, he's able to give to his people while the world misses it. The blessings of gathering around his word and sacrament. And truly, they are great. And the power that he gives us through his spirit and his word together is great as well to defend us against the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And we're blessed to be together today. Look forward to celebrating the Lord's gifts in our service. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us as well. And our opening hymn for today is hymn 807, When Morning Gilds the Skies. And we do invite you on the last verse of that hymn to please stand if you're able. Let's sing together hymn 807. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 71 in responsive prayer. Let us pray, Almighty God. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
You have made me see many troubles and calamities, but you will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again.
You will increase my greatness and comfort me again.
I will also praise you with the heart for your faithfulness. O my God, I will sing praises to you with the heart, O my one who is Israel.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Amen. We continue with our Kyrie this morning, spoken as well. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Before we read the reading, consider this thought with me regarding the work of God, because in this text, he speaks of how he is not pleased with those to whom he's come and given his blessing, and yet they forget about him, even ridicule him. And it seems as though he turns over the blessings for those to others and as a punishment. But remember this about our God, that even when he has to punish, it's for the good and salvation of those to whom he allows that to take place. We begin in verse 1 of Isaiah 65. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds, thus says the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson now from the book of Galatians in the 3rd and 4th chapters. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day? It's hymn 825, "Rise, Shine, You People." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our Christian lives can so easily devolve from what they're meant to be in freedom and fellowship and love and peace with God and with one another. They can devolve into a lower form of living that's actually bondage in disguise. I like to call this form of living the I'm right and you're wrong life. A life that's not really based on love, but on comparisons made between myself and others. A life that's based on me being right. This is a life in which we don't follow our Lord's command to love our neighbors as ourselves, but one in which we use our neighbors to lift ourselves up. A life whose goal is to be better than the neighbor. Our reading from the book of Galatians this morning gives us some insight into this in chapter 4, verse 3, where the apostle described our former state of bondage before we believed. He said, in the same way also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. What's he talking about? Well, as we said, our Christian life can so easily devolve into a life of I'm right and you're wrong. These are the old enslavements of a misunderstood law that God gave us for our salvation, but we understood for ourselves, for our own righteousness. So if you can think back on a time that you remember that you were right. You were right, and they were wrong. And then we could just say it, and hopefully for the last time that we need to say it, congratulations. Congratulations. Our baptized lives are not about these elementary principles of the world or about us being right. Our baptized lives are purposed in Christ's love flowing through us to our neighbors. It's about your neighbor now more than it's about you. The New Testament question is less, am I right or wrong? And more, can we swallow the fact that we think we're right for the sake of our neighbor? Can we love the person above the point? That's a challenging question. Especially when we think we're right. Because boy, do we dig in. Boy, will we fight the fight. But can we love like the book of Ephesians tells us in the 4th chapter when it says, speak the truth, yes, but in love. Purpose not selfishly, but selflessly. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's good advice to hear. Did you hear some of those words? With all humility, with gentleness, with patience. See, just because you or I are correct about something, it does not give us the right to hurt someone else or attack them or their character or destroy their reputation. I like to think of when I'm driving on the highway, and I'm in a 65 mile per hour zone, and somebody in front of me is driving 38. 38. And if I need to be somewhere, I'm sure it's true for you too. It's a real nuisance. It's tough. We're driving down the road and we're thinking, get out of the way. Did you get your driver's license at Sears? I used to hear. We get mad sometimes. Sometimes with blood boiling mad, like road rage mad. The speed limit is 65. Get that piece of junk out of my way. This is just a little picture where we can learn also about our relationships with other people. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing when they're driving 38 and a 65. So we feel justified in what? I think so many times, if we could, we'd just run them over. But we do watch people, right, who endanger their lives and others just to get around the car that they wind up right in front of at the next stoplight. What do you think the judge would say if you ended up in court because you ran the 38 mile an hour car over and you had to stand before the judge and you'd say, well, it was a 65 mile an hour zone and they were going 38. Would you be justified before that judge for running that person over? No, we would not. Recall, it's about loving God and loving your neighbor. We're not justified in running people over because they're not driving our speed. And it's helpful advice for our lives as Christians, for our relationships inside the church and outside the church, for our marriages, for our friendships, and for our working relationships. It's true that when we think we're right, we will literally run other people over as if they don't matter at all. But we err greatly when we do this. There's an amazing lesson for us, for you, for me, when we run into other people that we don't understand. And the amazing lesson is so crazy simple that it blows right past us. We don't often catch it. But when we run into somebody who's not like us, it's because they're different than you. They're actually completely different from you and from me. It's profound. If you really stop and consider it, it literally means that they're not like you at all. They're different. In fact, that's the exact definition of someone being different, is that they don't think like us. And the same things that make sense to us might not make sense to them. Why? They're different. Jesus understood this and went about his life showing mercy to all. And he said to you and to me, follow me. Follow me. Or as the Apostle Paul put it in Galatians, walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you've been called. This is a great call that he's put on our lives through faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit. One that makes us accountable not to run people over because they matter, because they're one for whom Christ died. Our Lord tells us that this is my commandment, he says, that you love one another. Not that you prove a point, It doesn't say that anywhere. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. The Bible will even tell us all to love our enemies. And God does not hold these things against us, friends, but forgives when we run people over. He really does. If we can repent of that, admit that the person is more important than the point, and admit that we messed up even when we thought we were right. But it's so hard. It's so hard to let go of that pride and serve Jesus by loving them. This is going to get deeper, so hang on. It's a difficult thing to love one another, to let go of these elementary principles of our pride and our ego and who's right and who's wrong. We keep listening to Galatians for a moment. It helps. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive, he says, adoption. Adopted. This is biblical language. Adopted by a loving heavenly father into a beautiful life of love and forgiveness and mercy, and out of this abusive world that wants to measure ourselves among ourselves and always be right. But he adopts us out of that world where people are running each other over constantly. And now we're in something brand new. This is the calling to which you've been called, that he admonishes all of us to walk in. Because the Bible says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That those elemental principles of the sinful world that control our thoughts and actions most of the time, that we're free to admit that just because the speed limit is 65, we were wrong to run over our neighbor. And free to confess that just because we think we're right, it doesn't give us the authority to be unloving and kind and act opposite our Lord. That we're free in this adopted life in Christ, free from those elementary principles of pride and ego, and free, get this, to live from love instead of living from legal justice. To live from love. Because our words and our actions, this is one thing we don't know, they're spiritual. Motivated by spiritual realities. The spiritual realm is not at all separate from the physical realm, as some and most philosophers have said. In order for Legion, in our gospel reading, to remain in the physical realm and not be sent to the abyss, they literally had to be sent into the pigs. They begged for it. And Jesus allowed them to do it. Why? To display the point for those who have ears to hear. What you do and what you say and how you treat others reveals the spiritual realities to which you are bound. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a spirit of freedom. And did you know that as a Christian, as a baptized, free, adopted believer in Christ, that you are free right now, absolution, from having to always be right? Free to love. Jesus took those elementary principles to the cross. And he nailed them to it and killed all of those ideas that govern so much of our thinking. Imagine your life, and I'll imagine mine, if we could let someone else be wrong out of love and not run them over. I love this text from 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul. He's talking to the church here about their need to be right. Because they're dragging each other to court. And even before the pagans, which Paul doesn't appreciate either. And what does he say? But he says this. This is verse 7, if you want to check it out later, of 1 Corinthians 6. He says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather just be defrauded? But instead, you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers and sisters. The New Testament question is less, are you right or wrong? And more, can you swallow the fact that you think you're right for the sake of your neighbor? Can we put people above the point? Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. And then listen to this. Against such things, there is no law. Can we love our neighbors as ourselves? Or are we still in bondage to this elementary spirits of the world? I'm here to proclaim to you today that you are not bound to those elementary spirits and principles. They do not have control over you because Jesus is crucified and risen. And you were baptized into his life. And we've been adopted to a way of living that is above this elementary stuff. And the Bible defines it by saying, it's love. And the people that are gathered around us this morning are our very brothers and sisters. And the devil is going to bring all sorts of garbage to us together. And his goal is to kill and to destroy and to divide us. But we battle not against each other, friends. Ever. No, not once. But against principalities and evil forces of darkness, against spiritual things in heavenly places. They might come to us and we'll think, oh, it's that person. Let me run them over because I'm right. It's not them. That's not what the scriptures say. We face every adversity, every attack of Satan, together. All of us, together against that thing. Because we've been brought into Christ's family. This is your family, in this room right now. There's many more that are a part of it in Christ, but right now, right here in the visible church, this is us. The devil's going to try to come in, but he will not win the day. He will not. We're God's children. We're adopted into something new, and we can walk in the manner worthy of which we've been called. Because now, because of Christ, we can be wronged, and we'll still be okay. If that's not a picture of that exact reality, I don't know what is. Jesus literally looked at you and he looked at me and he put us above the point of the law and he went and died for us and forgives all our sins. And he looks in mercy upon us when we don't deserve it. That's what we get to do for other people. See, that's the way we've been called. Walk in a manner that's worthy of that calling. You see it? Like Joshua and the others holding Moses' arms up as Israel's winning the battle. We get to do that together in everything we do here in our church and the things we do in the community. Free to love no matter what. Free enough to give ourselves up for each other. And I'll tell you, against this, the devil has no power at all. He cannot come in and win. Because this is the love displayed on the cross for us. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So who cares if I'm right, if you're right, if anyone is right, because Jesus is right. And we'd be wrong to assert ourselves on anything else. that he gave himself for us, that we might give ourselves for each other. In his holy name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This time, if you please stand with us, if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, you keep in perfect peace those who trust in you. Grant your perfect peace in the world, in the church, in our homes, and in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you preserve your church throughout the ages, giving prophets and leaders who point the faithful to your word. Guide the church of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world. Preserve the faithful witness of churches to the truth of God's word, and enable the proclamation of the gospel to all people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are a shield around us, our glory and the lifter of our heads. We pray you draw near to our homes and keep them safe from discord and every evil intention, that you give faithfulness to husbands and wives, love and respect between parents and children, and allow our homes to be havens from fear and doubt. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have established governments and institutions for good order and our well-being. Guide and grant wisdom to the leaders and the citizens, and give peace and security and good laws to our own country, our cities, our communities. And Lord, protect us from the dangers out there. That, Lord, as there's trouble brewing, like you said, that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Lord, we pray that you'd protect all of us, protect all people, protect your church. Lord, bring peace to our world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the great physician. According to your good and perfect will, grant healing to the sick and those who suffer, and grant comfort to the grieving in their loss, and peace for the dying in their last days on earth. Lord, especially we name before you this morning from the altar, Sharon Wright, Lauren O'Howe, James Wright, the Yetzi family, Larry Wilcox, Jeff Odd Pollock, Gail Nelson, Carl Keller, Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Sandy Cody, Larry Reinbarger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, Isaiah spoke of the new wine full of blessing that will not be destroyed. We give you thanks this morning for Joe and Angelica Luco's wedding, that you continue to bless them, we ask, and that you give them peace and a joyous life. Lord, grant us faithfully this morning as we come to your table to eat and drink of your own body and blood given in the fellowship of this altar. Lord, help us not to come in pride, looking to ourselves for righteousness, thinking we're something, but to come understanding, Lord, that you are something great. You are the one thing great, and you are all things needful. Lord, lead us to come in repentance and trust in your righteousness and not our own. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the condition of our souls, and that we frequently wander into sin, vice, and danger. You know that we can be proud instead of humble. But hear our prayers this morning, Lord, for Christ's sake, who defeated legions of demons so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Lord, we pray that you'd continue with us during our voters' meeting today, that you'd lead and guide the decisions of this voting body of this church to be according to your will and purpose for us. Lord, continue to strengthen and lead and guide us that we might be a light for the gospel, for the love of Jesus here in Alamosa where you've put us. Through the same, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our offerings to be collected and presented. As they are, we invite you to sing with us stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 7 of hymn 528, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, and the hymn is printed for you there in the bulletin. Pray. Gracious Lord, truly you bless us so much. Lord, we thank you for your gifts that you provide for each and every one of us. We ask that you bless these gifts, that we return to you. Lord, that these gifts would be used, that others who have never heard the gospel would hear of your love and forgiveness, would hear of a clean conscience before you. Lord, use them that way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings and the Lord's peace. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad.